T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Jordana and Paul. David at the helm. It's 8 minutes after four on this humid and a little bit windy Tuesday.
Hey, Jor, I shouldn't admit this.
You're dancing.
It's more of a seizure, but thank you for caring. Hey, I'm getting a haircut right after the show today.
Like the Flowbee that Lori was using real haircut by someone who was trained?
No, the gal that cuts my hair is coming here to the house. We're just 2 minutes away from where we normally go to get our haircut. So she graciously agreed to drive down here. We have a chair set up in the garage. We're going to open up the garage doors, everybody wearing masks, and we'll see how it goes. And again, extra sensitivity because we have a 4-month grandson. And, you know, Jordan's parents are rightfully concerned about the baby catching this thing. So we're trying to do everything we can, but I'll let you know how that goes.
Okay. I can't wait to see the new haircut.
Yeah. That's the beauty. Nobody has to see it.
Nobody has to see it. That's right.
Except
forget about
wife.
It for me. It's been 3 months since I've gotten a haircut, and that's just, you know, it's just a free for all. Doesn't matter. I did relent and finally went to the Walgreens and got a box of nice and easy hair color because my gray roots were driving me nuts. So did put a little hair color in the roots, did it myself. Doesn't look great, but there's less gray. So there you go.
I think there are a lot of grayer people wandering around out there, and it's okay. This is 2020. Anything goes this year, right?
So this was a surprise when I saw in the paper this morning the sign that said George Floyd Park. And we heard about this in the news. I don't know if you saw this picture. It said Minneapolis Parks and Recreation Board. You know, we've been hearing about this George Floyd Park. And I thought to myself, wow, that was fast. You know how long it took for us to rename Bidet-McCoska and get the sign up and make all that happen? I thought, my goodness, that was really fast. But then, of course, I read the story and learned that a city park leader said the sign was changed without permission. The sign originally said George Todd Park. That's the name of it. And somebody really did a clever job in changing, making the Floyd sign and putting it over the surname. It happened on Saturday night. The park is along the 5600 block of Chicago Avenue, about 2.5 miles south of the site where George Floyd was murdered. The Minneapolis Parks and Rec Board says they just happened to see the sign as they were walking by. The worker took a few photographs for his supervisor. We're not sure who placed the decal on the sign, changing it from George Todd to George Floyd, but they have not received any requests nor taken any action for renaming the park. So who knows? Maybe it will be renamed officially in the future, but somebody decided to take it upon themselves and rename it George Floyd Park. I thought it was kind of a sweet gesture.
I think they have the right idea. Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of sweet. And by the way, George Todd was a park commissioner from 1957 to 63, and the park was named in his honor while he was still alive. He was a World War I veteran and had cancer. He died in 1964. So not a slave owner, not somebody that we don't know who his past was. We know who he was, and it was aptly named.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of George Floyd and the horrific events since his death, since his murder, a lot of talk, obviously, focus on the 18,000 police departments around the nation, starting with Minneapolis. And some people say, well, defund the police, let's start over. Others say, let's reform what we have. I found it interesting, Jor, that Republicans, the GOP led by Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina, he is the only black Republican in the Senate, may introduce legislation on police reform on a nationwide scale as soon as Wednesday. It's called the Justice Act. It would ensure that all police departments provide the Department of Justice information on the use of force that leads to serious bodily injury and death. Hmm. It'll also address officer misconduct and de-escalation training tactics. But unlike the House Democrats' bill, it isn't expected to challenge qualified immunity, which broadly protects officers from civil lawsuits when violence results. Mm. So we'll see what happens. I also found it interesting, the Strib, the editorial board, talked about policing 2.0. Don't tear it down, reinvent policing. And let me just mention this clip, which made me do a double take, this excerpt from this editorial. Cops are currently asked to be the first responders for nearly every social ill, including homelessness, poverty, mental illness, and addiction. Some demonstrators say we'd be better off to spend directly on those problems instead of law enforcement and prisons. Certainly those ideas merit investment, but Minneapolis will always need community-based, culturally competent policing. That means adequate staffing so that cops get to know the areas they patrol and view residents as something other than threats. Bingo. It also means holding officers accountable when they mistreat or abuse citizens. So, I don't know. You know, all of us have to make up our own minds, but to me that made sense, what they said.
Correct. Right now, we don't have culturally competent policing right now. So that does need to change. I'll just end with this. Even faster than the bill in Congress, Louisville has banned no-knock raids in honor of Breonna Taylor. The Louisville City Council, or Louisville, as they say, has passed a new law named Breonna Taylor's honor, just days after what would have been her 27th birthday, and it bans those no-knock raids. So real change is happening in the form of policy, which means lasting change and consequences for bad actions. So that is a positive. When we return, Professor David Schultz will join us to talk about what this new Supreme Court ruling means for the LGBTQA community. Next.
Paul and Jordan, I hope your Monday is going well. Our thanks to David Josephson, DJ, for keeping an eye on us today and driving this ship. A surprising, some would say shocking, ruling earlier today from the Supreme Court justices. 6-3, the opinion written by Justice Neil Gorsuch, conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch, and the court held that the Civil Rights Act of 1964, often known as Title VII, prohibits all discrimination, quote, because of sex, end quote, including against people who are gay or transgender. With us to provide some perspective, as always, Professor Dave Schultz, Hamline University Professor of Political Science. He joins us on the Centerpoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. Professor Schultz, were you surprised by this?
I was surprised a little bit. I was wondering if it was going to be 5-4 one way or the other. Wasn't sure where Justice Roberts was going to be. And so I was stunned when it was 6-3 with Neil Gorsuch joining Chief Justice Roberts and the four what we call liberals on the bench to basically interpret the 64 Civil Rights Act, specifically the word sex, to apply to gays, lesbians, transgender, bisexuals. And so this is a pretty significant decision. And I would say also for people who were thinking, for example, somebody like Neil Gorsuch, appointed by Donald Trump, thinking, well, he's obviously going to rule against application of the 64 Civil Rights Act in terms of, you know, transgender and gay people. This is pretty big of a surprise to that many mm-hmm. of those people.
So explain to us what the difference is. So are you saying a few days ago somebody could get fired just because they were gay?
Yes. If the sole reason why you were being fired was because your employer said to you, I don't like the idea that you're gay, that you're transgender, that you're bisexual, you're fired. That was legal across the United States, unless there was some state law that would have addressed that. And so what this now does is to take our most basic and powerful civil rights law, which is 64 Civil Rights Act, which has banned discrimination on the basis of race, on the basis of ethnicity, against sex. That's the term that was used back then and still used in the law. It was still legal up until today, until a few hours ago, to say, I'm going to fire you simply because you're gay and so forth. This ruling changes that, and that's pretty dramatic because that now establishes a basic civil rights law baseline across the United States.
Professor, I'm confused, which is nothing new, but I'm hoping you can explain this to me, because my understanding was, and I hate to use the term culture wars, I think it gets overused, it's a lazy expression, but let's just say political polarization, mm-hmm. that the administration, this administration, was rolling back protections when it comes to people who are gay and transgender, when it comes to employers having to pay health benefits. And right now it just seems like a muddled mess. Does the Supreme Court ruling trump everything else at a state and local level?
We think so. Now, remember, this is a decision that applies to employment issues. It doesn't address, let's say, housing discrimination. It doesn't address, let us say, health care. I suspect what we're going to start to see now is how this decision really has kind of a precedential or cascading effect in terms of those other areas of the law. But your confusion is well warranted in the sense that we're getting mixed signals. But what the court said today is that the plain language of the law, in their opinion, is broad enough to incorporate protections for people, you know, in the LGBTQ community. So this is pretty significant. I think the other thing that we're missing is that even though we have this discussion of culture wars, if you look at public opinion, it's dramatically shifted. Even for people who are, let's say, Republican, who are conservative, we've got large percentages of the population now, well in excess of majorities, who say that, you know, you shouldn't discriminate in the workplace against somebody simply because they're gay or lesbian and so forth. So in some sense, this is a decision that's, I think, in line with public opinion in general, including in line with, I think, the vast majority of people who identify as Republicans. So we do have this maybe media presentation of culture wars, but beneath it, I think we have a clear consensus on some anti-discrimination rules.
Do you think it'll have a trickle-down effect to the Trump administration's trying to roll back access to health care for some LGBTQ trans folks? Do you think this – I know you said it doesn't apply to health care, but will this get the ball rolling so it soon will apply to health care, or as soon as the health care law is challenged, that will be shot down?
I think so, it will. I think what we're going to see at this point is that even though, let's say, denial of health care is not – an employment issue, I think, again, this sets, again, you know, in a legal sense, precedent, but also a policy direction that says that the courts are going to be taking a really hard look at any types of policies that single people out on the basis of what? Again, I hate to use the word sex, but I'm going to use it on the basis of sex, which includes this broader notion now of being lesbian, gay, transgender, bi, et cetera, et cetera. So this is significant. I put this up there with the decision a few years ago that legalized same-sex marriage. So we're seeing the shift in momentum now to where, what, a generation ago, discrimination against people who are gay, lesbian, and so forth was still acceptable, to where public opinion is rapidly shifting on these issues.
Wow. Amazing times we live in.
Yeah.
Professor
yeah.
Schultz, thank you so much for your perspective and insight and come back often. We appreciate your input into the show. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You know, Paul, it's no surprise. I feel like we are just in this time of great change. It's like an awakening for so many of us in issues surrounding race. And I'm not saying the Supreme Court, these are highly educated people, obviously, not that they're having an awakening, but I think they're realizing that attitudes are shifting. Attitudes in our culture are shifting. And clearly this is representative of that. And he said it was, you know, a 6-3 decision. So it's... I can only look at that as a positive sign that Americans as a whole, whether you're a Supreme Court justice or an essential worker, whatever, that things are changing for the better.
You know, somebody described it as a Dickens moment, best of times, worst of times. I mean, you know, with the protests and the death of George Floyd and so many other African Americans at the hand of police, it's the worst at times for a lot of people. You've got COVID-19, mm-hmm. and yet every now and then you get a glimmer like we got today that, yeah, maybe the nation in some respects is pushing in the right direction in terms of liberty and justice for all. Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice, wouldn't it? When we get back, let's talk about discrimination that you may have experienced. Maybe you're not a member of the LGBTQA community, but have you ever been discriminated against in the workplace for, oh, I don't know, anything? For being a woman, for being too young, for being too old? We're going to take calls and open phones. 651-989-9226. That's our number, and that's our question. Have you been discriminated against in the workplace? Tell us your story next on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Paul and Jordana, welcome back. Before we get to your calls, by the way, 651-989-9226, in light of today's shocking Supreme Court ruling, basically talking about discrimination, specifically people who are gay or transgender, and a lot of people surprised by this ruling. And our question to you, have you ever been discriminated against because of your age, because of your sex, because of the color of your skin, because of anything? 651-989-9226. And Jor, forgive me, but I have to mention this, a little bit of breaking news from the NFL Network while we wait for calls. Several Dallas Cowboys players and Houston Texan players have tested positive for coronavirus. So I know the NFL is gung-ho. We're going to have a season. We're going to be playing football.
Wow.
Even if there are no fans, we're going to be playing football because we got that sweet TV money, $10 billion.
Yep.
But,
yep,
if players start testing positive for COVID, I all bets are off.
Wow.
Anyway, that just came in. Just wanted you to know.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. The question we were asking is, have you ever been discriminated against, as Paul mentioned, in light of this Supreme Court ruling on the LGBTQA community, that they cannot be discriminated by who they sleep with or how they identify gender-wise?
Right.
So, again, it's levels the playing field, offers people more equality. But the question is, have you ever been discriminated at a job? 651-989-9226. Have you ever, maybe because of your age, too young or too old, maybe because you're a woman or a man? You know, I think if you were a guy trying to go get a job at Hooters, you might have a hard time. Paul, you might have a hard time getting a job as a server at Hooters. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know how their screening process. But you might have a hard time.
Some dude should try that. That is just a really bad mental image. But
a little bit.
You know.
So before we take calls, and I appreciate them, 651-989-9226. Has that ever happened to you? Because I'm trying to rack my brain. Where, I mean, we've all been treated unfairly at work, but I can never look at a time and say, "Well, this happened because I am Jewish," or "This happened because I'm a woman." I don't know that I can specifically point to a pattern there. What about you?
Jor, I'm of the opinion that if you haven't been fired at least a few times, you're not doing it right.
You're not doing it right.
You're not doing it right. So look, I'm not going to go into detail. What I will say is, one of the times that I was laid off, mm-hmm. I noticed that I was one of several older people over the age of 50. Everybody was older. Everybody was well paid. And so, you know, to make a long story short, it didn't go to court, but I had to threaten an age discrimination suit to get their attention, and a class action suit, because it would have been all of us who were older who were let go on the same day. So, yeah, you know, it can happen to everybody. They finally relented and gave in and paid the rest of the contract. So, again.
Excellent. Excellent.
It's a shame that you have to do that.
You got to fight. You got to fight sometimes. Absolutely. You do. So have you ever been discriminated? Bob is in Wisconsin. Bob, thanks for the call and share your story, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Love the show. Yeah, I've been discriminated based on age due to the drinking age, actually. It's a law that's based on age that doesn't apply to all the same ages.
Well, tell us how. Tell us the story. What was the
situation? Well, I mean, the Constitution or the Bill of Rights say that you can't make a law that's based on age, race, color, religion, but age is a law on the drinking age, and it's unconstitutional.
So how were you discriminated against?
Well, I was given the underage drinking. I mean, I'm over 21 now, but that law is actually considered, in my mind, unconstitutional because everybody, once you're 18, you're a legal adult, and you should be treated as the same laws as every other legal adult.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing. The conversation today is about whether or not you were discriminated on the job, about if you were discriminated on your job because of your gender, your sex, or discriminated at all, your skin color, if you have an experience with that kind of discrimination. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. And David, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I will, because you do have a good story as well while we wait for calls.
Well, yeah, you know, when we talked about this earlier, I thought, I don't think I've ever been. And then I remembered the time that something like this happened to me. So I, when I was very, I think 15 or 16, I got a job doing maintenance at like a commercial property. So I'm the guy that would mow the grass and, you know, do chores around the place like that. And I got the job early at 15. And then by the time I was 17, I still had this job. And I was doing things that, you know, the people that were just on the job weren't doing. I knew the building back and forth. I knew all the equipment. I knew how to do the job very well. And I said, hey, like, I'm doing sort of a tier two level work. Like, do I get paid for that? And their answer was, no, our pay structure is based on how old you are or where you are in school. And they said high schoolers get paid this much and college students get paid this much. I was not in college, but I was doing the work that other college students were doing.
Sure.
And I left. I said, if you're not going to pay me for the work I'm doing, I'm going to go somewhere and find a different job.
Wow.
And they let you walk? And he walked,
Yeah. I left, and they didn't try to keep me, and I dusted my shoes off on the way out the door.
Wow, and I imagine that would not be legal. You had seniority, even, over some people that were older than you, so you cannot pay someone based on their age. That's the whole point of the law.
It's interesting. Ageism works both ways, but yeah, in a perfect world, we'd be evaluated and compensated based on merit. No other factors enter into this. Shouldn't matter how old you are, the color of your skin, who you love, how you worship. Can you get the job done?
It's interesting. 651-989-9226. I've certainly seen bias in the workplace. I've seen, you know, certain people getting certain projects that, you know, there's some favoritism to. I've seen people get for the same infraction at work, you know, maybe looking at Facebook at work, one person will get written up and something will go on their file, and another person will just be told, don't look at Facebook at work. So I've definitely seen things like that, but I think that was just because a jerk boss, you know, had some favorites, had some pets here and there, and didn't like certain people and was always looking to screw the other people. But Keith, we see you. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Let's take a quick break. And then when we return, more calls on your stories of discrimination in the workplace. Welcome back. It's 4:50. We're talking about discrimination. Paul and Jordana here. Landmark case. The Supreme Court voted on that you cannot be discriminated on your gender identity, on your sexual orientation as of today. Lori's in Ramsey because we asked, when have you been discriminated at work? And have you? Tell us your story. So Lori and Ramsey, jump in here. What's your story?
Oh, this was about 30 years ago, Jordana, and I worked for a company in a department that was dominated by men. And it was myself and another woman. We held positions that were equal to several of the guys in the department. And at one point, a female administrative manager came to us and told us we would need to start covering the receptionist desk when she took breaks and lunches and so forth. Well, it was just the two of us in the whole department that were women that were approached and told we needed to do this. So we got together, and after work, we approached the vice president of the company, closed the door, sat down in his office, and said, we're not going to do it unless the rest of our department takes turns equally. Mm-hmm. And the matter was dropped.
Wow.
So they just did it because you were the women and you were supposed to answer the phones.
Yeah. Oh, yep.
Man. Boy, that must have felt good. That must have felt good, though, that you affected some change. You said, we're not going to take it, and they didn't make
good
you do it.
You screwed up.
That did feel really good.
Yeah. Wow. Well Great done, story, Lori. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, it usually doesn't go that way, Paul.
No, I know. I thought she was going to say that she got fired. I'm grateful that she stood up and maybe affected change in the process.
Yeah. That's a great story.
Keith in Malacca, do you have a discrimination story, Keith?
I do. You know, as I try and grow in my industry, which is the auto industry, you know, a couple times I've been passed over and they say, no, it's easier for you to be a minority. And even most recently, when I was applying for a new position in there, they said, well, it would be easier if you were a female or a minority. And I just struggle sometimes and think that discrimination is two ways. And sometimes I look at that and think, what am I missing when they tell me it would be easier if I was a female or a minority? And I just like to hear kind of a different side of that.
I think the different side of that would be a lawyer. You know, were you discriminated against because you were a man? That would be a good question. I'm not a lawyer.
And do you think that happens quite regularly?
Do I think it happens quite regularly?
Do you think that more than we think?
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't honestly have an answer to that. Do you think it happens more than is reported, Keith?
I do. I think it happens more than reported. And I think, you know, it seems just almost to be happening more and more. And even as I hire people every once in a while, I look, and when we look at a job application, it's got all these different questions in there. Are some of those, I mean, that's where we're discriminated against. I mean, if you answer a question this way, I mean, can they ask your nationality on there? Or is that where some of the discrimination's really coming from, is something I ask in my head. And I know I'm probably different on that, but I mean, if I check that I'm this, oh boy, you can't have it. And if I check on that, might I get preferential treatment? And I think then there, that is discrimination.
I think any discrimination, anytime, anywhere, is not right. I mean, anybody is discriminated against. So,
and are we creating more of that in our society today?
You ask good questions.
I don't know
that
either. Yeah, I don't know. Are we creating more of that? I don't think so.
I think
hopefully we're creating more opportunities for more people to do well and do better than they have in the past. That's what I hope. That we are creating in our society. Do we have time for one more call? David, let's see. We have to be out. We have about a minute. Let's see. Who's up next, David?
Let's go to John in East Bethel.
Hey, John in East Bethel. You're up next, sir.
Hi there. I'm white. I've been working in St. Paul. I've had several employees discriminated against from the protesters. And myself.
What does that mean?
Well, they said we can't work in their community. And I don't know who it's coming from, but...
Employer said that?
No, I'm their employer. I'm working on a house there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's been people you know, I'm not going to say the race or whatever. I'm not racial at all, but I have black people working for me, white people, Asians, Mexicans. I don't discriminate at all. And I think this discrimination just needs to end. I don't know why people are doing this, because, you know, we're all together.
John, unfortunately, we're out of time. We appreciate your calls. We will be back with our top stories right after the break on News Talk 830 WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.